Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things to your beloved Son, whom you anointed priest forever and king of all creation, grant that all people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united under the glorious and gentle rule of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel, the 7th chapter. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 93 responsibly. The Lord is King. He has put on splendid apparel. The Lord has put on his apparel and girded himself with strength.
He has made the whole world so sure that it cannot be moved.
Ever since the world began, your throne has been established. You are from everlasting.
The waters have lifted up, O Lord. The waters have lifted up their voice. The waters have lifted up their coming waves.
Mightier than the sounds of many waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, mightier is the Lord who dwells on high.
Your testimonies are very sure, and holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever.
Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Revelations, the 1st chapter. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. It's interesting that this year, the Feast of Christ the King is in the same week as we celebrate that national celebration on Thanksgiving Day. We trace the beginnings of that celebration to the Puritans in the first colonies, and no king would have been welcome to share that harvest feast of deer and fish, of corn and berries. This feast was like a Passover dinner, a feast of liberation in the Promised Land, from which they had escaped from the oppression of the kings and forced religious practice. The Puritans thought that they had traveled across the Red Sea in an exodus from Egypt. England and the church were tied to a tyrannical monarchy, and they had come to the colony to escape. The Puritans would not have wanted anything to do with a king joining their harvest feast. Now, most of us don't have such a direct experience with an actual monarchy, but we do have our royalty. Let me give you a couple examples. This past week, the President of the United States sat down to a royal dinner with the Queen of England. Now, although we don't call Mr. Bush king, there are certain royal distinctions bestowed on him, from his large entourage that accompanies him to the grand parades, from the command of the troops to the signing or vetoing of laws. Another sort of king in our society made news this week. Michael Jackson has been held in celebrity or royal status for many years. He sees himself as a king, whether we do or not. He's even given the name Prince to his sons. Is he above the law because he's royalty? I guess a judge and a jury will be deciding that in the months to come. And a final example. Yesterday was the 40th anniversary of the assassination of John Kennedy. I watched some of the special programming on television this past week and was reminded how he and his family were treated and seen as royalty. They were watched and emulated. They were adored. And at his death, he was mourned like a king. In the United States, we don't have kings, but we do have lots of royalty. Being a king really meant something in Jesus' day. A king was the most powerful human being on the earth. When the king spoke, the nations trembled. A king was the only one who could secure peace and order in the nation. He was honored and respected and served. The king was held in awe and was obeyed in his every wish and desire. The king had so much importance that even the marking of time was calculated from the beginning of the reign. For example, in the fourth year of the reign of Solomon, or in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, king. And we say, in the year of our Lord, 2003. What does it mean that we name Jesus king? We certainly don't look at Jesus like the Puritans looked at King Charles. Nor do we want to use any of the so-called royalty from our society today as an image of Christ the King. The image of Jesus as King is difficult for us to get a hold of in a serious way. What does it mean to call Jesus King? That was what Pilate was wondering. Our gospel reading this morning tells the story of Jesus and Pilate coming face to face over issues of power and authority and truth. Now, Pilate was an obedient servant to the most powerful king in the history of the world till that time. He knew what being a king was all about. He knew the power that the king had, the authority that he exercises, the unquestioning obedience that a king demands, and the power that the king had over life and death. Pilate knew what a king was. Pilate sat in a position of authority and enforced the rules of the king. And one of the rules that was well known by anyone in the king's reign was that claiming to be a king, putting yourself in authority against Caesar, was asking for death. Any such action was to be punished by execution. This was the rule that Pilate had enforced very often during his time as the governor in Galilee. And so when Jesus was brought before Pilate, the charge that was levied against him is that he claimed to be a king. He claimed to be the Messiah, the King of the Jews. It must have seemed ridiculous to Pilate that this humble, ordinary-looking man would be a king. Pilate knew kings, and this wasn't one. He knew how kings acted, how they dressed and behaved. But he asked the question, are you the king of the Jews? In answering, Jesus says that his kingdom is not of this world. It's a kingdom not fought for by the old means of warfare. Rather, it testifies to the truth. It will not kill for the truth. It will die for it. If Jesus is king, he is a suffering king. He will not demand ransom. He will be ransom. He will win, not by spilling the blood of others, but by shedding his own blood. Jesus says, my kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. On some level, Pilate understands that truth. He knows that this so-called kingdom of Jesus is not the same kind of kingdom that Caesar is ruling. If he's a king, it's certainly out of this world type of kingdom. He tells the accusers of Jesus that he finds no case against him and that he intends to release him. There's just no way that Jesus fits his image of king. I wonder if we aren't like Pilate. We can name Jesus as king, but for one reason or another, we don't believe it, or we don't understand what it means. There was a recent Gallup poll that showed that more than 77% of all Americans considered themselves Christian. And of that 77%, less than half could say who preached the Sermon on the Mount. That same poll showed that last Easter, 60% of the American society went to church. But 25% of those churchgoers didn't know what Easter celebrated. If we were polled on Christ the King, how would we do? When we call Jesus our King, do we understand it? Do we believe that Jesus is our King? I know some people who really dislike this festival day, who stay away from church on this feast of Christ the King because they do not like the association of Jesus with King. They think of autocratic rulers and dictators who consult no one, people who make selfish and self-centered orders, who demand obedience from others rather than seeking to serve others. Those people have not clearly heard Jesus in his response to Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. Jesus cannot be compared to any king, good or bad, that we know in this world. Now there's another group of people who take these words of Jesus and get them all twisted in such a way that the kingdom of Jesus ends up being out of this world, sounding like sweet by and by, something that happens in a kingdom far, far away, not where we live, not having any effect on how we live our day-to-day life. It's a future thing. It doesn't have anything to do with us today. Yes, Jesus is King, but that's for later. The kingdom of Jesus certainly does not affect how we live today. There's a cartoonist by the name of James Wettstein. He draws a weekly cartoon based on the Sunday Gospel. The characters in the cartoon are sheep. And I particularly like the one for this Sunday. The two sheep are talking. The first sheep says, Jesus doesn't seem very king-like in front of Pilate. And the other says, well, his kingdom is hidden, but his leadership is unmatched. On the cross, Christ the King leads his people through death to life eternal. And the first sheep says, well, it's a good thing it's not Christ the Travel Agent Sunday, because I love the destination, but I'm not crazy about the route. What does it mean when you say Christ our King? What does it mean to name Jesus King? Jesus is not a worldly king. His power is not from this world, and it is not exercised in the way that power is exercised in the world. Jesus carries out his power by serving others, by forgiving others, by giving to others, by healing others, by sacrificing himself for others. It's all about others. The power of Jesus is the power of truth, the power of faith, hope, and love, the power of life itself. The power of Jesus' kingdom is not something that is coming at some future time, in some future world. It's now. The kingdom of Jesus is real, and through baptism, we are made part of that kingdom. Through baptism, we are called to share in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, to be in that reign of Jesus Christ, right here, right now. But this is an invitation. We're invited to faith. We're invited to obedience, to love in the kingdom of Jesus, but we're not forced. Jesus invites us to allow God to enter our lives, to allow God to rule in our lives. He invites us to walk in the light that is Jesus Christ himself and to share in the communion that is his own body and blood. This is the kingdom of wholeness, the kingdom of healing. This is the kingdom of unity and peace. The question that Pilate asks is our question too. Are you a king? It's a question about rule, about obedience, about who's in charge when our world seems to be falling apart, about who we can turn to when we are in need and it seems that no one understands our pain. It's about who we should go to for mercy and justice for ourselves and for others. Jesus answers, he is in charge. Not in the way that the world would have a king be in charge with force and violence. He is in charge with love and life. Jesus' statement, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice, reminds us of the shepherd images that John has drawn for us earlier in this gospel. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd and follow that voice. To belong to the truth is to be one of Jesus' sheep. To belong to the truth is to recognize in Jesus the truth of God, to see the fullness of God revealed in Jesus, to hear the word of God in the voice of Jesus. Jesus says that he is in control over the darkness, that he is the one through faithfulness of God conquers death and brings healing and peace to all who follow him. This is Christ the King that we name today. This is Christ the King that we seek to follow. This is Christ the King in whom we find our life and find it abundantly. Our sermon hymn today is Soon and Very Soon. And as we sing that song, don't think of pie in the sky and the sweet by and by, but think of the power of the reign of God right here, that soon, meaning now, is the reign of Jesus Christ. I was talking to some people during the coffee hour, and the couple had gone to hear listened to Garrison Keillor last night, who was in San Diego. And he, this radio talk storyteller, and he had a great story. He always talks about Lutherans and how Lutherans are very straight and stoic and don't get too excited about things. And I thought of that as we sang that song at the first service, because this song is a swing song, and we all stood and sang it very, very respectfully. So I would invite you to sing Soon and Very Soon. Let's stand and sing.